hospitality of the human heart for God. It is a picture of man open to God and God open to man. It is a picture of the commonness of life between men when they are properly related to God. Now that's what it stands for all through the Bible. Do you remember when Gideon was encountered by the angel in the book of Judges? The first thing he did was to dismiss himself and to go get 3 measures of meal and prepare them and serve them between him and the angel as a gesture of hospitality toward God and toward heavenly things. Do you remember when Hannah went up to the temple, the mother of Samuel? When she went to worship God, she took with her as her offering 3 measures of meal, the token of her openness to God and her awareness that God was open to her, the picture of communion between man and God. Now that's what this stands for right here. Now listen to me carefully. You see, Jesus selected an image that he knew every Jew would recognize instantaneously. And he knew that they would know immediately exactly what it meant. Here's what it means. The 3 measures of meal stand for the most important thing in human life that anybody has ever known. Man's relationship with God and God's relationship with man. God's hospitality to man on the basis of grace and man's hospitality to God on the basis of faith and their common communion together on the basis of God's grace and man's responding faith. That's the most important thing any human being will ever know. Now, when that is right, life has satisfaction to it. When that is wrong, life will never know satisfaction, whatever else you may do and whichever else you may go, whatever direction you may go. It will never have what it's supposed to have. Now, out of that, and you see this right here in all of these passages, there arises the second most important thing known to man. And that is the commonness of life and fellowship that prevails among believers when they are rightly related to God. Now listen to me carefully. The most important thing God has ever revealed to us that we may get in on is twofold. Number one, a relationship with Him that is right. And number two, a relationship with our fellow believers that is right. Now those are the most important things in life. And if you want to see how our age is blowing it all to pieces, look at where they are today. Why, when I was driving down here for church this morning, I passed people in all stages of disarray, some out working in their lawns, some out, in fact, I'm astounded the number of people are jogging on Sunday morning. I mean, I passed a dozen of them at least. Independently, one at a time, out jogging, totally oblivious to what I'm talking to you about right now. As if it never meant anything, and to them it does mean nothing. And they don't think it means anything to anybody else, how dark they are. The most important thing God has ever given to man is His open heart saying, "Come unto Me." And the most important thing a man could ever give to God is His open heart saying, "You have come to Me, now I receive what You offer. I open My heart and invite You into Me." And they penetrate each other and they are together in communion and common union of life together. And on the basis of this, the second most important thing in the world is that open oneness of heart that prevails or should prevail among all of God's people. Now that's what Jesus is talking about in this parable. You see there in the New Testament, in the language in which Jesus wrote, there are 2 words. And I'm going to give you the Greek word and then interpret it, that are 2 of the most important words God ever shared with man. They both begin with the English letter K when you bring them into English. I call them the 2 special Ks. One of them is the word kerygma. It means the proclamation of the gospel. Now, remember our earlier parables. Jesus said all through this age, there is going to be one thing that must go on and it must be constant. You must be at it all the time and you must never stop. You are to proclaim the Word, proclaim the Word, proclaim the Word, proclaim the Word, teach and preach the Word, witness to the Word, share the Word, and never stop. Do it every time you have an opportunity. When you open your lips, speak the Word. wherever anybody will listen, or if they demonstrate that they will not listen, pick up the seed and fling it recklessly wherever you'll get an audience, wherever people have ears, and trust God to help them to hear. But keep on speaking the word. Keep on sharing the gospel. Keep on declaring the love of God. And do not let anything make you stop. Your failures, their failures, or anything else. Keep on proclaiming the word. That is kerygma. That's the proclamation of the gospel. That is the first main essential in this age as far as the church is concerned. Now the second one is what develops out of that. It's the other special K. The Bible calls it koinonia. And here's what that means. It's our word for fellowship. It means that wherever God draws one man, another man, a third man, a woman, a boy, a girl, out of all those you're proclaiming the gospel to, they are to be together in oneness and openness of spirit, so that wherever you find them, there is something absolutely different from anything else you will ever find in the earth. And that's the fellowship of believers. And it requires that they open their hearts in oneness of spirit and give themselves away totally to God, and then in turn they give themselves away totally to all other believers. Now let me be honest. After 8 years of being your pastor, I must tell you this church is divided at that point. I mean radically divided. I would venture to say that this congregation this morning is divided about one-third to two-thirds. They're about a third that want in on the fellowship by totally giving their lives away. I mean to each other. And they're about two-thirds that are afraid of it, as if Jesus knew wrong. Or they've got hang-ups in themselves that will not let them. They need to break. That's what he said constantly. Now this is that second special K. Let me illustrate it. This last week, I was privileged to spend a substantial portion of time all at once with my family, and except for my father. My father was unable to come, so I drove up to Fayetteville last Monday and spent about 8 or 9 hours with them, caught a flight back on Tuesday morning, or was it Wednesday morning? I drove up there on Tuesday and came back on Wednesday morning just to get to spend some time with him. He's been ill, very ill for some time now, and was not able to make the trip. He's 84 years of age. And I had some time to visit with my older sister, whom I deeply respect as a human being. She's a very wise person, at least with human wisdom. And there's a mingling of a lot of other things in that too. And as we were talking, I said, "Wilma, where are you going to church now?" She said, "Well, I'm not going as much as I should," but she said, "I'm going to the most fantastic church I have ever been in my life." I said, "Tell me about it." I knew where she was going because I visited the church when I was up there. She said, "It is absolutely the most unbelievable church I have ever been in my life." I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "When you go in there, there's no way, if you are alive at all, that you would not feel God dealing with your life." She said, "Every time I go, I break down and weep. I can't help it." And she said, "Now the pastor is somewhat humorous about it. I go by the door on the way out," and she said, "His church is rigged. You have to go out one door to get out, and he's always there." And she said, "He takes me by the hand, and he laughs and humorously says, 'Well, I'm glad to see you cried through another one of my sermons today.'" Just that way. I said, "All right, now, I want you to tell me why, in your opinion, that church is that way." And here's what she said. She said, "Well, I have no question. There's just one thing. It's the total openness and total warmth and total fellowship of all the people that are there." I can tell you what's happened in that church then without knowing a thing about it. I can tell you what's happened. First of all, it's had a man of God that preached the Word of God over a long period of time. I told her that. She said, "Yes, the church has never had but one pastor. He started from scratch. He built it all the way through just exactly like that." I said, "That's right. It never fails. Either the pastor's been there a long time and faithfully preached the Word, or they've had the same kind of pastor all the way through. You'll always find that. You go to any great church that's got that same thing, and you'll always find the same common denominator at that point. Faithful preaching, warm preaching of the Word of God. Constantly. Constantly. And I mean the open Word of God where you tell what's there, not what men think about it, but what's there." All right, I said, "Let me tell you what the second ingredient is. The second ingredient is he has learned how to spring those people open, and they have responded to him. She said, yes, you wouldn't believe it. On Sunday nights especially, they just have wide open services. And I was very interested. I said, explain to me what you mean. She said, they get up all the time. They're always telling and sharing.